Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, would you grab someone's hand on the left and someone's hand on the right, lift it up in the air. Tonight, I'm going to preach for an impartation. I'm going to preach for an impartation. Many of us arrived tonight on the last day of 2017, possibly with some New Year's resolutions. But I got to tell you, God loves you too much to give you a New Year's resolution. God loves you too much to give you a New Year's resolution. He wants you to have a New Year's resurrection. Jesus didn't resolve that he was going to do some things differently. He just resolved that he was going to be raised from the dead. And the scripture says in Romans 8:11, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit alive in your mortal members. It's the same spirit that's working and breathing and living on the inside of you. So come on with our hands lifted. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. Let the Spirit of God, let the power of God fall upon these sons and daughters. Fall upon these magnificent saints of yours, oh God. Father, the 2018 would be the greatest year that they've ever walked on this planet. That it would be a year of blessing. It would be a year of increase. And I heard this word tonight as I pulled into the parking lot. It would be a year of recovery. And I felt the Holy Spirit say there's some things that the devil stole. 2016, 2017, things that the devil stole, things that were precious, things that were promised, things that were priceless, things that were yours. A thief can't steal what belongs to him. A thief can only steal what belongs to you. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, 2018, many of you are going to recover. You're going to get back what the devil stole. Father, I thank you for blessing and I thank you for favor. In Jesus' name, come on, if you believe that in faith, would you give God a great clap offering right now? Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Come on, can we put our hands together again? What a fantastic item that was. Glorious, glorious. And just so amazing to see that video up there with so many testimonies of people healed of cancer and brain tumors and starting businesses and everything. I just love the fact that we decided just to be obedient to God, that God wanted a church that lived and breathed in the Spirit. And I was even telling my beautiful bride this morning, I preached this message at North, this morning. And I said to Leanne, I said, you know, the saddest thing is I know so many churches where I wouldn't be welcome to preach this message. They try and tell you to back up a little bit, tone it down a little bit, you know, back off a little bit. But I thank God that we wanted to be a church that was obedient to God. And because of that, today we had a testimony of a gentleman who came to our church and saw the Book of Miracles and saw people being prayed for, and his father was terminal with cancer. This gentleman had driven from L.A. to Carlsbad, and so Nick Unsworth, him and his wife Megan run Life Unlimited, this amazing Life on Fire, this fantastic marketplace empowerment. And so they said, why don't you bring your dad to church? And they said, well, he lives in Arizona. I said, well, bring him to church. So this young man drove from L.A. to Arizona to pick up his mom and dad, and then the whole family wanted to come. The whole family didn't go to church. They didn't even believe in God. Nick said, just bring him anyway because we believe in miracles. And so they drove from Arizona 6 hours to be at our North campus. He got prayed for. When they went back, they got a blood test and the cancer was still there. So they said, what do we do? They said, go back. So they went back a second time. The cancer was still there. And then Pastor Brianna Chittick said, no, I just need you to understand. If you've driven 6 hours from Arizona and your son drove, 8 hours from, God is gonna bless it. That's incredible faith. You need to go back a third time. So when they went back a third time, the doctors called immediately and said, "There's an anomaly. You need to come back. We've never seen this before. The cancer count was so high in your blood in the previous two tests, there is zero cancer in your body. This can't be." So they had to do another test. And yesterday they got the all clear, completely healed. Completely healed. Completely healed. So I'd rather be a church that is obedient to God rather than be a church that is more in tune with fearing the faces of men. Fearing the faces of men. But anyway, let's just do this. Let's do a little bit of a backwards order tonight. I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head where you are right now. Maybe some of you are wanting to take something good into 2018. Maybe some of you tonight are wanting to make some really good changes. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to diet. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to get into a connect group or whatever it is. And all of those are good things. All of those are good things. But let me just say this to you. Sometimes the devil will actually promote good things. You may say, how could the prince of darkness, how could the evil one promote good things? Well, the Bible says that he masquerades as an angel of light. An angel of light is a good thing. Sometimes he masquerades as a good thing. Well, when would the devil masquerade as a good thing? Well, there's a saying that good is the enemy of great, but in the kingdom, I want you to know that sometimes good is the enemy of God. Sometimes a good thing can be the enemy of a God thing. And I don't want you to take a good thing into 2018. I want you to take God into 2018. Because here's what I found. I can make a New Year's resolution on January 1, but by January 4, I've already broken it. I've busted it. But if I take God with me, if I take a dimension of God, if I take something from God, whether I stand or whether I fall, whether I triumph or whether I fail, I'm taking a person with me. The Bible says that he picks me up. The Bible says that when I fall, I will not be utterly cast down, for his right hand upholds me. You want God in 2018. And I'm not sure where you're at tonight, but I want you to know that you're here tonight to hear a message, and this message is going to rock you. But before this message has a chance to rock you, I want to give you an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I want to take God, not just good. Maybe you're away from God, disconnected from God, far from God, whatever. You know tonight, you need to get your life right with God. I want you to come with me. I want you to cross over into 2018 with God. So if that's you tonight, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, would you quickly raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. Thank you. 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 Thank you up the back. Thank you up the back. Thank you. Who else is there? I want to pray for people tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands all the way up the back. I see your hand. Thank you. In there, sweetie, I see your hand, darling. Thank you. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Quickly. Thank you, young man. I see your hand. On the side, thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you up the back. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Love to pray for people tonight. The most important decision. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I'll just wait just a few more seconds. If there's just one more person, don't go into 2018. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes we can take tradition. Don't take tradition. Take Jesus. Tradition's no substitute for Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. So many hands have gone up. This is what we're going to do. Every single one of you that just raised your hands, that decision is the most powerful, the most potent, and the most important decision that you can make. And so I would love to pray for you, and I want to give you a gift. Now, when you buy a car, you get a manual. Well, when you're born again, we want to give you a manual. It's called the Bible. Not only that, we also want to give you a book called Following Jesus. And those are our gifts to you tonight so that you can start off the year not just with the manual on how to do life best, but also with a Following Jesus book. And I'd love to pray for you. So could we do this? Could we just stand to our feet again? I know I just got you to sit down. Those of you that raise your hands, would you do something? I'm actually going to get down off this platform and stand down here. I want to pray for you powerfully. I want to pray for you personally. If you're sitting with someone that raised their hand, would you grab them and bring them out? If you raised your hand, would you grab a friend and come and meet me here and let me pray for you? And church, why don't we put our hands together? It's up the back and on the sides. These people who raise their hands begin to come. That's it. Just come on, come. Some of my ushers, some of my team, help these people. Come on, let's put our hands together. Come on, this is awesome.
Hey, so proud of you, buddy. God bless you, man. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. God bless you, powerhouse. So proud of you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, beautiful. God bless you, beautiful. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Come on, can we give these people a great round of applause? Come on. I'm so proud of every single one of you, and I'll just explain why. We just had a musical theatrical production that one of the beautiful ladies you saw on the stage here, Annika, basically choreographed, and it was the best it's ever been. But there's a really powerful line in that production that we do, and the line goes like this. An angel says that the human will, free will, is so powerful that it is able even to resist the will of God in one's own life. In other words, God will never, ever be guilty of breaking and entering. God gave you and I a free will. God will never violate that. God will never break into your house. He will never break into your soul. He'll never break into your heart. The Bible says He stands at the door and knocks, which means that the free will that God gave you, you can use that free will and say, I want nothing to do with God. I'm going to give my life to being a drug addict. I don't want nothing to do with God. I want to destroy my life with alcoholism. And you will find that God won't break in. He'll walk with you, begging you, pleading with you to turn the whole way. But he won't. That's why the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, Jesus says, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. You got to open the door. 32 years ago on a beach, I was so broken, so messed up. And I heard this message about Jesus. And I thought, man, if I can't trust my earthly father to take care of me, who I can see, how can I trust this God who I can't see? But I thought, man, what have I got to lose? My life's a broken mess anyway. So I thought, I'll give it a go. So 32 years ago, I heard that knocking and I opened the door of my heart and I said, Jesus, come in. When Jesus came in, I got to tell you, everything changed. In a moment, everything changed on the inside. And there is a power. That's why the Bible calls it being born again. You'll find that there is a power that will begin to grow on the inside of you. The Bible says that when you're born again, you're not born again of perishable seed, but imperishable, incorruptible seed. In other words, all of a sudden, the God factor, the kingdom of God begins to grow on the inside of you, and you just find yourself busting out of old habits and forming kingdom, forming godly, forming powerful, good habits. And it all begins right here in this place by inviting Christ into your heart. So church, can we all do this tonight? Can we say a prayer with these beautiful people? And I want you to say these words out loud. Say tonight, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight that you sent Jesus Christ, your only son, on a rescue mission to save my life. Lord Jesus, thank you for picking up the cross and dying, shedding your blood to wash away all my sin. Tonight I want to thank you that I am forgiven because of what you did, that I am clean, that I am a child of God, that every chain, every shackle, every hold that the enemy had over my life is broken. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. And my future is bright in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you. Now listen, I'm about to preach an unbelievable message. You're going to want to hear this message. But before we do that, I want to keep my promise. We're going to give you a Bible. We're going to give you a book. Standing over here is a handsome man in a leather jacket. Behind him is what we call our response lounge. It's a cool little lounge. The people who are standing behind you, they're going to take you in there. They're going to give you a Bible. They're going to give you that book. Now, if you need any prayer, maybe you're going through something. We never want to presume that everybody that walks in has got life, you know, happening honky-dory. So these are some of our best people, some of our most trained people. They would love to take a moment to love on you, to pray with you, to stand in agreement with you. That we don't want you to cross into 2018 with the same struggle and the same challenge and the same difficulty. So they'll take as long as you want. Now, if you're saying, hey, I just want my Bible and my book and, you know, get back here, they'll take a few details, make sure that we look after you, and they'll bring you straight back out so you can hear this great word. But you can take as long as you like, okay? And they'll love on you and they'll pray with you. So would you do this? Would you turn to your right and my left? Just follow this handsome man in the leather jacket straight into that response lounge where we can give you that Bible, give you that gift. Come on, church. Can we give these people a great round of applause? Come on. How awesome are these people? Come on. How awesome are these folks? Come on. Come on. We can do better than that. Come on. Fantastic. You may be seated. You may be seated. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. The title of my message tonight is Instructions for Crossing Over. Instructions for Crossing Over. I haven't actually looked at that yet. That looks pretty good. That might even be the Sea of Galilee, I think. I think that is. I think that might be one of the photos Pastor Paul Churchwood took. So let me just say this. We're all going to cross over into 2018. Who's ready for 2018? Let me tell you, as your pastor, I want to give you three instructions for crossing over to make sure that your 2018 is the greatest year that you've ever lived and breathed on planet Earth. Are you ready? Only a few of you? What about the rest of you? Okay, all right. All right, so come with me to the book of Joshua chapter 5. For time's sake now, I'm only going to read a few of these verses, and you can read the rest. I'll give you an abbreviation of the entire passage, but just go to verse 1. It says, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted. And there was no more spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel." That's a good thing for the enemy to be afraid. Be afraid. Be very. It's a good thing for the enemy to be afraid. But have a look at verse 2. This is what we're going to land on. Verse 2. "At that time," at the time when the enemy is fearful, "at that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.' So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the Hill of the Foreskins," which is an interesting name. Anyway, "and this is the reason why Joshua circumcised him. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt." Now I want you to come down with me to verse 7. It says, "Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he had raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed." Verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" Everyone say, "This day." "Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day." Let me just pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And I ask that you would speak powerfully and concisely through me, that this would be a word in season for these magnificent sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be thinking, this pastor is crazy. Of all the topics in the Bible to choose on a New Year's Eve, why would you talk about circumcision? Well, I'm really glad you asked. I'm really glad you asked. So let me give you 3 points tonight, really quickly, just in the few moments we have left together. The first one, the first point, point number one, is I want you to cut away compromise. If we're talking about instructions for crossing over, point number one is cut away compromise. And let me just back up a little bit. In the opening of Joshua chapter 5, the Bible says, all the enemies, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the Jordan, that they'd walked across the Jordan River. Now, if you go back to Joshua 3, which do on you when you get home, but in Joshua chapter 3, the Bible says that the Jordan was in flood. In this particular season, it was the rainy season, and the Jordan bursts its banks. It was a season where the Jordan was in flood. And God said to Joshua, tell the priests who carry the ark to step down into the Jordan. And the Bible says, as they stepped into the Jordan, their feet were wet, but the water stood up. And then the children of Israel, the entire nation, crossed over on dry ground. And the Bible says that when the enemy heard that God, that there was a power, that there was a power with God's people. Now you need to understand, 40 years earlier, God did a similar miracle at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, when Pharaoh's chariots were coming up behind the children of Israel, they came to the Red Sea. It was an impasse. It was impossible. They're like, we see the promised land on the other side, but how do we get across there? And all they could hear was the rumbling of Pharaoh's chariots. All they could see was the dust going up, clouding out the setting sun. And they're like, we're done for, we're done for. And God said to Moses, stretch out your staff. And as he did, the Red Sea parted, and they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, you know the story. God said to Moses, now stretch out your rod. And he brought the rod back over the entire army of Egypt. And the entire army of Egypt was snuffed out in one moment. Now this is 40 years later. This is 40 years later. It's 40 years later, but I've got to tell you, it's incredibly good news for me. It's good news for me because it tells me that God is a generational God. It tells me that God is not out of tricks. It tells me that God has not run out of power. It tells me that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that for the previous generation opened up the Red Sea is the same God. He's the same God with the same might, with the same power, with the same heart, with the same grace, with the same loving kindness, with the same goodness. He's the same God who now opens up the Jordan River and makes them cross over on dry ground. And when the enemy heard that the same God that plundered Egypt was coming this way, my God, they had every reason to be afraid. He's a generational God. The Bible says, though, that that generation was circumcised, but that generation did not enter into the promised land because of their disobedience. The disobedience went so far as they didn't circumcise the new generation. So God has to say to Joshua, Joshua, make flint knives and you need to circumcise these young men because they can't enter into all that I have unless they're in covenant with me. Because the old covenant was circumcision. The old covenant was circumcision. Now, how many people here are in any level of leadership? Any level of leadership? Let me just tell you, I love Moses, and I'm not trying to say anything negative against Moses. Moses is extraordinary. But Moses could only get them to the promised land. He couldn't get them into. He could get them to. He could see it. They could see it, but he didn't take them over. My belief is because Moses liked to be the good guy. He liked being the miracle man. He liked bringing the water out of the rock. He liked bringing the manna. He liked bringing the quail from heaven. He liked solving their problems. He just didn't want to do circumcision. If you read the story of Moses, the Bible says that the Lord sought to kill Moses because he refused to circumcise his boys, and then rather than die, thought I better be obedient to God, which is always a good choice. But his wife Zipporah, who was a Midianite, her daddy was a priest. She was a pastor's kid. And she's like, my daddy didn't make people do such barbaric things. And she literally took her son's foreskins and she threw them at Moses. And she said, you're a husband of blood to me. If you read in Exodus 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brings back Zipporah and the sons because the marriage has got so much tension that she's walked out on the marriage, and so he has to bring Zipporah and the two boys back, Gershom, they have to bring them back to Moses. So Moses is like, man, I've got enough strife in my marriage domestically, let alone doing this. And so Moses abdicated his responsibility. Why is this so important? It's so important because Moses had neglected to institute a covenant. Because you need to understand that we are a discipleship church. I don't want to build a church where you come to church and we teach you how to rehearse the blessed and highly favored, Pastor. How's life going, blessed and highly favored? When really you're getting evicted from your house, your car broke down, the engine blew up, you got no way of paying your bills, you owe everybody money, you write checks that bounce, boing, 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 and life's chaos. But when you get to church, blessed and highly favored, Pastor, I love you too much to do that. And so Moses didn't want to go into the intimate areas. He didn't want to go into the private areas and bring a little bit of pain. But that's what discipleship looks like. And so God says to Joshua, now that you've seen my power, for my power to be unleashed, I need you to make flint knives and circumcise all the men. I need you to establish the covenant. I need you to go into the areas that they were born with and cut off. Because let me just tell you, every single one of us arrived here with some dysfunction. Every single one of us came from places of abdication of our parents. Our parents did the best that they could, but they inherited junk from their parents and they inherited dysfunction from their parents, and it's just been passed down. I had a word for a gentleman this morning that you're not the end of the curse, but you are the beginning of blessing. The devil doesn't mind you just being the end of curses, but I'm telling you, God has got far more than just you. Now that you're in Christ, being born again, being the end of the curse, God wants the whole thing to change, the whole trajectory to change. The Bible says, God said to them when they circumcised the men, God says, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. What was the reproach of Egypt? It was the shame of slavery. Now, you and I can read it as history and say, yeah, there were slaves in Egypt. But you need to understand, these young men now bore not just the pain, but also the scar in their body. They bore the pain and the scar in their body that they were the sons of God. Because the circumcision was a covenant that they were no longer slaves in Egypt. They now had the evidence that they were sons of God. Pastor Kat Sullivan this morning did communion, and she talked about how when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that he was whipped 39 times, that they tore the meat off his back, that he was beaten, that he had a crown of thorns rammed into his head. The Bible says he was so marred that he looked beyond human recognition. And they put a bloodied body into the tomb. But when he rose again on the third day, Mary thought that he was the gardener because he was completely healed. He was completely healed except for holes in his wrist, except for holes in his feet, except for a hole in his side. Why? Because with that, Jesus established the new covenant. With that, Jesus established the new covenant. These were the signs. And in the old covenant, it was a circumcision that these men knew. They were sons of God. They weren't slaves of Egypt any longer. Now you may say, well, how does that affect us? I'm glad you asked. Because every single one of us comes in with levels of dysfunction. We come in and the devil has told you you're the wrong color. We live in a country right now where there's a particular political party that wants to make it all about color. All about color. This kind of white privilege and everyone else. Let me just say this. If I painted and dyed my skin purple, would I be any different? If I dyed my skin green, would I be? It's got nothing to do with, but there's a party that is deceiving a generation, trying to tell you it's about skin. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says, if God be for you, who or what be be against you. The Bible says, greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. But the devil wants you to get your eyes off God and somehow make it against your demographic or your upbringing or your skin color or your nationality or your ethnicity or you were born on the wrong side of the tracks or you were here or you were this or you were that or you weren't this or you're a drug addict or somebody told you you're a loser or maybe a school teacher said you're a no-hoper or maybe a parent told you you were an accident. Maybe a parent told you you were disappointed. And here's the thing, the more that you hear that, see, for 400 years, the Israelites heard slave. They didn't just hear it with their ears. They felt the sting of a whip on their back reinforcing. You're a slave. Move it, slave. They worked 16, 18-hour days, but never possessed a title deed. They could not buy territory. They could not own their own home. They were slaves. They were just a working class. And when their numbers grew too great, Pharaoh ordered an edict that every child under three be cast into the Jordan River, into the Nile River. Every child under three would be drowned, every male child, because they were just a slave class. They were just a working class. This happened for 400 years, 10 generations. Many of us in this building tonight, you already carry, you don't even recognize it. But it's already there in your psyche. You carry a slave mentality, a victim mindset because of words that have been spoken, things that you believed about yourself. But God says, when this covenant is established, I've rolled away. I've rolled away. I've rolled away the reproach. Because let me tell you something. God knew that for them to possess, they couldn't possess as slaves. They had to possess as sons. Now, let me just explain this. When Jesus went to the cross, he was establishing a covenant between God and man, between heaven and you and I. God is a God of covenants. There was the old covenant and the new covenant. Every covenant is sealed in blood. That's why God says, be a virgin till you get married. Virginity. The Bible says there's signs of virginity in the female body part. There is what is known as the hymen. It's where we get the word hymn or hymnal. And on the night that a young lady is wed, at the act of marriage, sexual union, sexual intercourse, the hymen is ruptured and blood flows because it's the establishing of a covenant. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, you need to understand that in every covenant, when you go into a business covenant or when you go into a marriage covenant, that whatever the other person has, if the other person has debt, their debt becomes your debt. Now, if the other person has wealth, that's why you have a thing called gold diggers. So watch this. So God, on the cross, entered into a covenant with you and I. Now, I don't know about you, but when I came to God and when I came into this covenant, I had massive debt. There's a saying that goes like this, that Jesus came to pay a debt he didn't owe because I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Oh, you didn't hear me. There's a saying that says Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe because I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But when I came into covenant with God, God in heaven said, I will assume your debt. I will take your debt. I will take your broke. I will take your addiction. I will take your depravity. I will take your rebellion. I will take your sinfulness. I will take your falling short of the glory. I will take all of that on me. And then you have access to everything that I have. When the Apostle Paul says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, he wasn't using hyperbole. Oh, isn't that lovely? The Apostle Paul, he's such a courager. He says, my God shall supply all your needs. Oh, Paul, you're such an exaggerator. He's so positive. He's just one of those positive thinking gurus. No, no, no. He was an understander of covenant. You in covenant with God means that God, who's gone into covenant with you, has assumed your debts. But you now have inherited his wealth. You have inherited his blessing. You have inherited not because of your performance. You have inherited not because of behavior. It's not your behavior, but it's the life of the Savior that I inherit all that heaven has for me. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. I understand I came into this relation broke. I came into this relation busted. I came into this relation addicted, dysfunctional. But he took my addiction. He took my chains. He broke them. He paid off all of my debts. And now I'm an heir. What is it? What is it in your life that needs cutting off? What is it that is keeping you from that covenant, from that consecration with God? Cut it off. Cut it off. Whatever compromise, cut it off. Now, it's interesting because I did a Hebrew study because we were just in Israel on the word Gilgal. Gilgal means circuit, it also means wheel. It's very interesting, and I don't have time for it tonight. But the word Gilgal has an anatomical value of 66. I thought that was quite interesting. I like numbers. Anatomical value of 66, and it literally means wheel. And so I did a little bit of further study. And it's interesting that God called, they call that place Gilgal because God says, I've rolled away. I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt. The number of man is 6. The number of the Antichrist, the man who looks almost perfect, who claims that he is God on earth, is 666. This one, Gilgal, is 66. And God says it's because the generation, the iniquity of the previous generation has caught up to this generation. When I came into the kingdom, I was born again, but I brought with me the dysfunctions of a father who was an alcoholic. I brought with me the dysfunctions of a father who was violent and abusive. I brought with me the dysfunctions of a mama who, she just lied. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I got so much mileage out of lying. I rarely let the facts get in the way of a good story. I've got stories where I went into the mall and pretended I was blind, which is so easy to do if I was honest with you. So easy. All you do is you just never make eye contact when you're talking to people because you don't know where their eyes are and just kind of feel their face and let people lead you around and kick things that you didn't see. But I remember one night during a fast, and we're going to do a fast from the 7th of January to the 14th. If you want to break stuff off, if you want to cut stuff off, there's nothing more powerful than fasting. So I was doing a fast, and about halfway through the fast, I'd been getting all these prophetic words that God wanted to raise me up to be a prophetic voice. God wanted to raise me up to be a prophetic voice. God wanted to raise me up to be a prophetic voice. But God had to deal with my lying. And so this one particular night, I wake up, my whole body's shaking, and I wake up, and there is a person floating above me, completely horizontal on the bed. And it's an angel of the Lord, completely horizontal over me. He's just magnificent white, and his eyes are glowing. And I'm freaking out, but I can't move because he's over the top of me. Where do I go? And as I went to speak to him, to ask him who he was, he took his fist, and I thought, you know, he's going to punch me in the face. And he literally put his fist straight down my throat into here, and then he starts doing this. And out of my mouth is ribbon. It's like this crimson-colored ribbon flying out of my mouth. And I want to ask him, what on earth is this? And I couldn't see because I couldn't shut my mouth. And he's just flying out. He's just determined. And after about maybe, it seemed like about 5 minutes, finally the last bit of ribbon came out. And then he just stayed there like face-to-face with me. And I said, what was that? And he looked at me and said, deception. And as soon as he said that, he was gone. After that, I had one of those Jim Carrey from the movie Liar Liar experiences. Well, true story. I'm like, the pen is blue. I can't lie. It was like, oh, I would tell little fibs, like I'd go surfing. And I'd tell Leanne I'm going to be, you know, home by 12:30. And it's like, you know, 1 o'clock, 1:15. And she's like, where were you? And I'm like, the traffic was, I
man, the surf was so good. I stayed out longer than I probably. And, you know, and everything began to change. But I found as I allowed God to deal with that, it's amazing the prophetic words that began to flow. Cut off compromise as you move in. Number two, and we're out of time. Can I give you number two? Number two is change your language. Change your language. Do you know what it was that kept the previous generation? It was their language. They had the language of victims. They said, we are not able to cross over. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like grasshoppers in their own sight. So it was a generation that did not enter into all that God had for them because of their language. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you receive power. They're like, dude, give the power to somebody else. We were eyewitnesses of your life, your death, and your resurrection. We were the recipients of your personal touch. We were there with you in the upper room. We were there with you at the Last Supper. We heard every one of your sermons on the Mount of Beatitudes. If anybody can go out without power, it's us. Give it us. And Jesus says, no, I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you receive power. So the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Ghost filled them and they begin to speak in other languages. Somebody once asked me, you know, when you speak in tongues, Pastor, what are you saying? No idea. Wait. You don't know what you're saying? Not a clue. Well, what's the point of it then? Why would you even bother? Let me explain. If I could understand what I was saying, I would ruin it. Because the Bible says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, speaks to God. Indeed, with his spirit, he utters mysteries. Romans 8:26 says, you and I don't know how to pray as we ought. So the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings and words that cannot be uttered. If I was to understand what the Holy Ghost was saying, praying through me, I'd keep interrupting him. I'd be like, Shebra de Rica. If I could understand, I'd be like, whoa, Holy Spirit, wow. I think you got the wrong guy. That's not me. Oh, whoever that is, man, that guy is awesome. What a future. But no, that's not me. I'm too jacked up. I would interrupt the Holy Ghost. So what he does is like, you know what? I'm gonna speak in a language you don't understand, because if you understood, you would ruin it with your unbelief. Remember when Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, is in the presence of God, and you know the high priest is doing the priestly duty, and Gabriel appears to him and says, Zechariah, you're gonna have a son. I'm gonna have a son. Where were you 30 years ago? I'm old and my wife is well advanced in years and beyond the age of childbearing. And Gabriel just is like, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the press. How often does this happen to you? Oh, it's a regular occurrence that angels appear to you. You know what? Mute. You will not be able to speak till the baby's born, because you'll ruin it for everybody with your flipping unbelief. So Zechariah comes out. He can't speak. Language is power. Language is power. How do you know that language is power? Because when God wanted to disrupt Nimrod's agenda to build it, he just confused the language, because language is power. Now the Bible says this, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Now, for years, I used to rail against this. Oh, man, I hate that scripture. Death and life in the God, I'm going to make a decision this year. I'm only going to speak life. And oh, I'd find myself, you know, man, this year I'm going to try harder. I'm only going to speak life. You know, oh, man, I'm such a doofus. Oh, I just did it again. Man, I'm never going to get, oh, I just didn't even realize it. And God's like, what are you doing? I'm like, God, I'm trying not to speak death. I'm trying to just speak life. And he's like, you can't. I'm like, oh, well, you're meant to be encouraging. What do you mean? Just give me a strength point out my phone. Just tell me a strength. He's like, no, Yerkes. He says, I've programmed you that way. All you got to do is stop speaking death to the things that you want to live and stop speaking life to the things that you want to die. Just flip it. Because human nature, you will curse the things that need to live and you will bless the things that need to die. Man, we're never going to get a house in San Diego. Have you seen the house prices in San Diego? Is there? Oh, man, the doctor's report said, I think it could be We bless that we speak life to the things that need to die. So how do you change? Number one, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues. But number two, the Bible says in Luke 6:45 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So God says to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to meditate in my word day and night, day and night. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Then you will make your way prosperous, Joshua 1:8. Then you will have good success. What is interesting is God is able to change what's coming out of Joshua's mouth by getting Joshua to change the diet of what he's putting into his heart. If you watch more television, if you listen to all the negativity, you will find your heart being filled with anxiety, your heart filled with fear, your heart filled with hopelessness, your heart filled with perversion, your heart filled. But if you can fill your heart with the word of God, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, who brings forth his fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and everything that man does shall prosper. See, if you want to change what's coming out of your mouth, you've got to change what's going into your heart. But I found that there's a language that unlocks. God lives in a gated community. We think that God just kind of, you know, anyone can go to God's house. Well, anyone can go there, but you may not get in. What are you saying? I'm saying that God lives in a gated community. Where's that in the Bible? Glad you asked. Psalm 100 verse 4 says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We don't enter his gates with whining and complaining. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. There's an access code. You can be there all day. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep. You can try all the other access codes. The only access code that will open up the gates is thanksgiving. And then God says, don't stay in the gates. Come into my courts. Come into the place of justice. Come into the place of liberty. Come into the place of freedom. Come into his courts with praise. You've got to change your language in 2018. The last one. Last one, I know I'm out of time. The last one, number three, instructions for crossing over, is dream again. Dream again. God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. See, they lost their ability to dream. When you have enough whips on your back, when you have enough disappointment, when you've suffered enough pain, when you've seen them tear the baby out of your mama's arms and throw him into the Nile River, you stop dreaming. Because to dream is to endure disappointment, and disappointment is pain. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Many people have switched off their dreaming mechanism because it's just safer to have no dreams. It's just safer to be numb. If I'm numb, I don't feel pain. We have a generation that medicates itself. America is 5% of the world's population, but uses 75% of medication, psychiatric medication, because we numb ourselves. The problem with numbing yourself, if you don't feel pain, they say the same part of the brain that experiences pain is the same part that experiences euphoric joy. And there's a lot of people, you've so numbed yourself against the pain, you no longer experience any joy. But the Bible says about one man called Joseph that he dreamed again. Dreamed again. Because the first time he dreamed, he told it to his brothers, and his brother says, you little snot. Do you really think you're going to rule over us? And they mocked him to scorn. The Bible says even his mama and papa rebuked him. What is this silly dream that you have dreamed? But the Bible says Joseph was undeterred that he dreamed again. That he dreamed again. Now watch this, I'm finishing. But it's just too important and too powerful for me not to give you. The difference between Joseph, who had 11 brothers, there were 12 of them. The only difference I can see besides the dreaming was the fact that Joseph wore a coat of many colors. Some people say a technicolor dream coat, but he wore a coat of many colors. But it wasn't just a coat of many colors, it was the coat of the Father's favor.
It was the coat of the Father's favor. The devil knows if you wear the coat of the Father's favor, your dreaming mechanism will awaken. But you know what the devil does? Is he convinces you that you're not God's favorite. Look at your performance. Look at your behavior. Look at the things you did do. Look at the things you didn't do. It was just Christmas. And how much time did you spend reading your Bible? Too busy opening presents. And you expect God to answer. And you're like, oh, who am I? But you got to put on the coat of the Father's favor. See, the Bible says, God speaking, says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Speaking about Jesus. Jesus said, don't think that I came to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you are in Christ, you are in the one who has fulfilled the law in its entirety. If you are in Christ, you are in the one who God says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. But the devil will try and get you out of Christ. He'll try and get you into performance because he knows that in performance, he can bring disqualification. Joseph didn't wear the coat because he was perfect in his behavior. Joseph didn't wear the coat because he was so morally upright. He wore the coat because the Father bore him in his old age. Joseph was a type of Christ, and he says, you are my Son in whom I am well pleased, and he puts this coat on him. Joseph did not earn the coat. You and I did not earn salvation. Let me help you this way. When God created woman, the Bible says he puts Adam into a sleep, a deep sleep, and then he removes one of the ribs and he fashions the woman. And he brings the woman to Adam. And the first thing Adam does when he sees her, he says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. The Bible says that Jesus is the last Adam or the second Adam. God also allowed Jesus to go into a deep sleep after he said, it is finished, and he breathed his last. And the Bible says that a soldier punctured Jesus' side, and blood and water flowed. Blood and water are the signs of birth. They're the symbols of birth. And out of Jesus' side, God brought his bride, which is the church. When Jesus looks at you, if you are born again, the church that was brought out of Jesus' side, when Jesus looks at you, he says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones, righteousness of my righteousness, holiness of my holiness. As Adam was, Eve was. As Jesus was, we are. Where's that in the Bible, Pastor? Glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God. That means when I stand before the Almighty and he looks at me, he sees a reflection of his own glory. He sees a reflection of his own righteousness. Now, here's the deal. I know my own depravity. I know my sin. I know my struggles. I know my failures. But the Bible says I don't stand in before God in myself. If any man be in Christ, I stand in Christ. What was God doing with Adam? He was bringing out of Adam Eve, a helpmate comparable to him. What was God doing with Jesus? His entire plan, His entire purpose was to bring out of Jesus sons and daughters of righteousness that have the righteousness of God. You and I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why are you listening to the devil? Why are you listening to his accusations? Why are you listening to his lies about all the reasons that you disqualify? Why are you living under what you're meant to rule over? Why are you being chained and enslaved by things that God has already set you free from? God has set you over. He has delivered you. He has set you free. He's broken every chain. He has assumed your debt and he has canceled it. He has paid it out in full. Put on, I'm God's favorite. Put on the favor of God and begin to dream again. What was lost in 2017, dream again. Dream again. Do you know God is already in your 2018? The Bible says, God speaking to them in the old covenant, he says, I'll cross over ahead of you and I'll drive out all the nations. See, you and I think that God is with us right here tonight, 31st of December 2017, and absolutely God is here. But you need to understand that you and I live in time, God does not. God is the same yesterday, today. He's in your today, but he's also in your tomorrow. God is already in your January. He's already operating in your February. He's already orchestrating and engineering March, April, May, June, July. God has already gone before you. What's he doing there? What's he doing in my 2018? Glad you asked. In your 2018, he's already driving out. He's already disempowering. When Joshua came to Jericho, they didn't have to bring a wrecking ball. They just had to shout praise to God, and the walls came down because God was driving out all the nations. God was taking them down. All you got to do is stand and declare. All you got to do is bring a shout of praise. All you got to do is lift your voice and begin to declare that if God be for me, who or what can be against me? Begin to shout. Come on, somebody give God a shout tonight. Come on. Oh. Come on, we're going to sing a song. I'll get a hand back to Pastor Drew. I've been so naughty, but lift your hands high to heaven. Come on, I'm going to pray for an impartation right now. Right now, Father, I pray for a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. I pray for fresh power. If you don't speak in tongues, receive that gift now. You can receive it now. It's your gift now. It's your gift now. Father, I thank you. We're going to cut off compromise. We're going to cut it off, Lord God. We're going to change our language by filling our hearts with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And Father, I thank you. We're going to dream again.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.